Hello and welcome to ILV Podcast. We talk about issues of work and virtual communication in international business. I'm Erica from ILV Intercultural HR.
And I'm Liz from Splendid Blended Learning.
Currently, many of us have more virtual meetings than face-to-face ones. Maybe they include high tech that makes these meetings possible with benefits like efficiency, speed, saving on travel, and so on. But what are the challenges for our communications patterns? This is our topic in today's podcast.
And this time, we're going to talk about two specific communication patterns that we often observe in our international virtual moderation, high and low context communication.
So, we can start explaining the meaning of both communications patterns. High context communicators, and I believe that I belong to this group, they are those that put only a small part of the message in the words spoken. And these words are used to imply meaning. We don't express our idea explicitly. Gestures, postures, voice, silence, or things left unsaid are equally important in conveying meaning. This must be correctly read in order to really understand the message. These communicators rely on shared knowledge and understanding in the context to give their communication meaning. Communicating with people who express explicitly their ideas could be difficult because sometimes they cannot read what we want to convey in our eyes or gestures. I'm not sure if you can understand it.
Yeah, probably not, because I come from a low-context culture of communicators, and what that means is that we put the whole message, or virtually the whole message, into our words, and what we say can normally be taken at face value. You don't have to interpret anything, because I don't assume that we share a common background and a common context to give this extra meaning to my words, so I spell everything out. I also don't use so many gestures and nonverbal communication. It doesn't mean I don't use gestures and my body language, but I do it unconsciously, and it normally supports the message of my words. It's not independent of it. And in my culture, mostly if I do detect a discrepancy between what you say and what your body language is telling me, I read that as dishonesty, or perhaps you're up to something. It's not trustworthy for us because we don't really learn to put so much meaning into our body language and gestures.
According to our experience to this point, I would say the communication between low and high context patterns in face-to-face interactions is quite challenging enough. So what happens when we transfer it into the virtual context, particularly in virtual meetings? And what are the expectations and specifically challenges for low and high context communicators? We have collected some examples that could help us better to understand and identify these two communication patterns in the virtual context. I remember once a participant in a course, she told me that she was working with two colleagues from China. She has to train them in the maintenance of machines. Her two colleagues didn't ask any questions, and also she noticed that they have a friendly face, so she thought that everything was all right. But the next day, when they started with the practical part, she realized that they had not fully understood. She said, "I didn't get any questions from them the day before."
Well, this story highlights some of the challenges for low-context communicators. Low-context people, like I mentioned before, they need explicit information and they need everything to be in the words. So while the colleagues from China, they thought they had communicated everything very, very clearly in what they didn't say, silence, body language, but the person from the low-context culture couldn't read it. So that's where the miscommunication came. People from low-context cultures, they really flounder when they're not given explicit information.
That is a good point to consider. I have another example. A client who manages an international virtual team between Europe and Asia told me once, "I'm confused and frustrated. Just received an email from a team's member from Asia. Staff wanted to work the first part of this project locally, as a region, because they believe that this is the best approach for the team. He has been working hard in the last few weeks on introducing this new project, and he thought that everything had been in agreement, and the team in Asia even looked very harmonious and even very attentive through the screen in the last virtual meetings. Nobody told me at any point that they didn't agree with me or had any suggestion. How can I explain it? Told me very frustrated.
Once again, the Asian colleagues, they thought they had communicated everything. For them, it was already clear. Somehow, they had made it clear through their body language that they didn't like the idea of working with you, that they wanted to do it themselves, the project in their own region. But once again, the person from the explicit culture, the low-context culture, didn't get that. And that's why this person was very surprised and probably very annoyed.
When we talk about high context, we don't mean only gestures and posters, although clothes communicate. In one of my culture coaching sessions, a client asked me about clothes and business in Latin America. She said to me, at our preliminary meeting, my business partner from Latin America almost always asks, Claudia, what are you wearing tomorrow for our meeting with the client? It is important topic for our agenda, I always answer. At work at home at the moment, why should I wear a blazer with a blouse? The most relevant issue is to present our business, not what we are wearing.
Yeah, this is a good example of the messages that are given, not just in the words, but in the whole picture. And clothing, of course, makes up part of the whole picture. So it's a thing that many people today are working from home, many more than in the past. And many people from Western cultures, they think it's a great opportunity to wear casual, comfortable clothes. What they don't realize is that they are actually giving a message that they probably don't intend. So what you wear for the people from a high context culture is giving a message. So that's important to realize.
Clothes in high context not only send you a message, also support to identify the situational context. In this case, you wear context, even if you are working at home. Another point that I think is very important, especially for high context communicators, is the lack of social interactions in virtual meetings. This reminds me of a feedback for a participant in a workshop. Honestly, I'm losing more and more interest in participating in virtual meetings, he said. He had the impression that meetings are just for information and sticking to the agenda is the most important thing. This puts him under loss of time pressure. Sometimes he tried inclusive to break the ice in the meetings with some opinions and expressions to loosen things up and to make them more bearable. But the only thing he achieved is that his colleagues don't take his opinion seriously.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with today's business culture, at least in quite low context cultures, and that is time pressure. People are encouraged to schedule one meeting after the next, because you can do it just sitting at your desk. And so the meetings do not take into account a buffer time for small talk. That might be acceptable in low context cultures where it's straight down to business, but in many, many high context cultures, this period of establishing some sort of rapport and relationship through small talk is vital to setting up the business relationship and to being comfortable with your business partner. So this modern culture of just one efficient meeting, the next is very detrimental to them. They lose this very important aspect or opportunity of communication, which is small talk.
Social interactions in virtual meetings. This is an important issue for teams in order to build commitment and motivation.
Yeah, this very small picture size, especially when you've got, say, more than 10 participants in a meeting, can be a problem. I remember one of my workshops, there was a participant, he was an Englishman, and he was talking about an online meeting with people from England and people from Scandinavia. He was moderating, and he'd ask a question, and it was the English people every time who'd jump in with an answer. So he thought, well, I want the Scandinavians to answer. So he started to direct his questions directly to one of the Scandinavian participants. And still, they didn't answer, or not immediately. And the other participants felt uncomfortable with the silence, so they jumped in and answered. And he found this very frustrating, and he couldn't understand why the Scandinavians were not answering. So how would you explain that, Erica?
Silence could be interpreted in different ways. In high-context communications, it's a part of social interactions. That means that silence gives you a message. Taking your time with the answer shows politeness and respect. Show that you are taking the other person seriously in order to get good answer. For low-context communicators, it could be a big challenge because they receive the message without spoken words. It can be really complicated for them. I have a Japanese background, and silence in Japan means also what is not said is regarded as important. Silence means that you are listening actively and at the same time you are learning for your interlocutor. It is also considered as a wise way to think. First, you take your time to think before you give your idea.
So, yeah, silence and the way different cultures use silence and interpret silence, that is a big factor in virtual meetings, especially now that we have the technology to either mute yourself or the host can mute all of the other people. So you don't know as the host, are they not speaking because they don't want to, or are they speaking not speaking because they've actually muted themselves or they didn't hear it? That is also another factor on top of this intercultural potential for problems.
I am a person, for example, who use a lot of gesture to communicate. I remember once, it was 5 years ago, approximately, my colleague and I were in a seminar about virtual meetings by a company in Switzerland. So we had divided participants in two groups for a virtual simulation. I was upstairs with half of the group, and my colleague downstairs with the rest. When we were deep in the simulation, I noticed that my colleague had forgotten to take her mobile phone, which we had agreed to use to communicate internally, and I needed it. So I started to send information via chat, but she didn't react. After that, I tried to send some information with gestures, including placing my index finger over my mouth, but she couldn't read my message through the display. It was frustrating to me, so I decided to run downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, this shows some of the difficulties of this modern medium where, with big meetings, each picture of each participant is very small. So you simply cannot see all of the participants all at once. And even those that you do look at, the picture's too small, so you miss a lot of this potential detail in information, all of these non-verbal communication styles. So if, for example, I come from a high-context culture, so I need or I want to read eyes, facial gestures, body movement, all of these things, and silence, it's very, very difficult because I either can't see it or it's too small to really read properly. So this is a huge amount of information that's going missing and can't be read. So it's a big problem for high context communicators.
One thing that I observe with participants in virtual meetings, independent of their communications patterns, is that people are more reserved than normal. They are often stiff and tense. They're worried about using the technology correctly or making a good impression. They don't like making mistakes and concentrate on their appearance, sometimes inclusive using the on-screen picture of themselves as a mirror to check their hair. I believe that to support the work that people from high and low context patterns are trying to do together in virtual interactions, it's important to consider some basis of virtual communication. Communication is only possible through media, and it's fragmented. One media cannot give a message with your whole sense, like in a face-to-face interactions. We should remember that technology itself is only an enabler. Alone, it does not make virtual working effective. Many organizations provide training for new virtual technologies, but don't provide any support on how to work together effectively in a virtual setting.
But then we have to ask the question, where does this leave us? And I think the point is that everybody, whether a high or a low context communicator, needs to understand their own communication style and how a virtual platform affects that style, especially in cases where part of my natural means of communication can't be communicated because perhaps the other people simply can't see it, my gestures, my posture, and my body movements. So basically, everybody needs to learn three things. They need to learn an awareness of their own communication style. They need to learn what communication style is best suited to the virtual medium and, importantly, how to adapt their own style so that they can communicate effectively in virtual meetings.
So now to our listeners, what about your experience with this? Do you have anything you would like to share with us? If you'd like to talk about this in more detail, we will be happy to talk to you. Just write us an email to ilvinterculturehr or splendidblendedlearning. Thank you, Elise.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Erica.